The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
The California and San Francisco Departments of Public Health and the CDC have confirmed that a recent case of COVID-19 among an individual in California was caused by the Omicron variant. Here's what we know right now. The individual was a traveler who returned from South Africa on November the 22nd and tested positive on November the 29th. The individual is self-quarantining, and all close contacts have been contacted, and all close contacts thus far have tested negative. The individual was fully vaccinated and experienced mild symptoms, which are improving at this point.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Boy, that's a familiar voice, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Hi, it's John Harper for Drew Mariani, and we're hopeful that you're feeling well on this first Friday of December, the feast day of St. Francis Xavier. Do you feel at times that you're in the Bill Murray movie Groundhog? You wake up each morning and it's the same day. We're still talking about COVID-19, vaccines, masks, almost 2 years later. And while you and I are trying to stay healthy, while fighting off the newest variant of the coronavirus, here comes Omicron, the variant showing up in 40 countries around the world and here at home with a hotspot in Minnesota.
While Omicron hasn't been detected in the U.S. yet, in Minnesota, the state with the nation's highest case rate, where hospitalizations have jumped 50% in the last month, one nurse says teams are short-staffed, leaving frontline workers frustrated and exhausted.
Morale remains low. It seems that we've gone from the most trusted profession in the world to the least trusted.
Across the state, 1,600 people are currently hospitalized with COVID, and 49 hospitals have zero ICU beds available.
That's Stephanie Ramos reporting for ABC. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says that vaccinated people make up many of the cases of Omicron here in the United States.
We've seen Omicron in about 5 states now, and we're continuing to do investigations with other states as probable cases emerge. Pharmaceutical companies are actively looking at whether they need to alter the vaccines in order to tackle this. It may very well be that our vaccines actually work quite well and continue to work quite well against severe disease. And those are the studies that are ongoing.
Let's help you and your family stay healthy and protected as we approach Christmas, as we look at this latest variant of the coronavirus. Dr. Barbara Golder is a physician, attorney, bioethicist, award-winning author, and she is the editor-in-chief of the bioethics journal Linacre Quarterly of the Catholic Medical Association. Dr. Golder, welcome back to Relevant Radio. Happy Advent.
Thank you. Happy Advent to you. It's good to be back.
Let me ask you a big picture question. We've been fighting the pandemic now for almost 2 years. What have we learned? And more important, what have we failed to learn or don't want to learn?
The second question is, if I haven't learned it, I really don't know what it is. So we have a lot to learn about it in the sense of how this acts over time. We've learned how to create a vaccine quickly that is effective in preventing serious disease. We have learned how to mitigate transmission. Whether or not the game was worth the candle in that is another discussion, but we, in fact, have learned how to do some of that. We're learning that different populations and different responses have different outcomes, and we're still sorting through what makes the difference in those things. It's not always what we think. We have learned how to manage the disease when it is serious. We've gotten better about treating it. We've gotten better management of people who are ill. We've gotten better at managing hospital facilities. We've learned an awful lot in a little more than a year's time. I think we've also learned that this is a pandemic, kind of like the HIV pandemic, that's going to be around for a while. It's going to be here for quite a while because this virus has shown its ability to mutate. And it's going to be a part of our medical landscape for the foreseeable future. So we have to get some long-term strategies, and I think that's the piece we're still learning.
And isn't it interesting watching secular media? It's like throwing red meat to a lion. It's like, oh boy, here's a brand new variant, albeit something that we have to pay attention to. But the same frenzy that we saw over the last 2 years is revisiting us again. Look what happened to the stock market just the other day. We just need to calm down and put things in perspective.
I think that's very true. I think part of us, you know, a significant number of us, are just weary of this whole process. It's been going on for such a long time, And at some point, you just simply get fatigued by it. But I think the other piece of it is that we really have learned how to manage it, and we have learned how to manage our daily lives. Now, it came at a cost. It came at a significant interruption of our lives and learning how to do things differently. But we have, in fact, figured some of this out. And I think you're right. We do have to sort of calm down and say this is part of what we live with, and we're simply going to have to manage. This is what is and what's going to be for a while. And our response has to be measured and sensible, and we don't really need to keep a fever pitch of anxiety over this. It is, in fact, part of the landscape.
Dr. Barbara Golder is with us here on the Drew Mariani Show this afternoon at 888-914-9149 as we talk about the latest variant of the coronavirus, Omicron. You've heard about that, and maybe you've got some questions, or you're still on the fence with vaccines, booster shots. Do they work? Do they not work? All of those questions are still on the table. Dr. Golder is the editor-in-chief of the bioethics journal Lineker Quarterly for the Catholic Medical Association. Let's set up this latest variant. It started in South Africa. That's what we know about it. And this is still going to be a learning process, as we have seen with the previous variants of the coronavirus, correct?
Exactly. And the frustrating part of this is that it does take time to see it play out in populations to know what we're dealing with. We'd like to be able to just pull something off the shelf and say these eight things are true about this particular variant. But the way we learn it is by watching it behave. And that's sort of what your lead-in was talking about, the same thing with vaccines. The vaccine has a different level of protection against this new variant, but we're still seeing good protection against severe disease, which is kind of the point of this particular immunization. So we're still learning as we go along, and that's the frustrating part. We'd like to know now so we can plan and make the right decisions, and that doesn't happen that way.
Dr. Golder, the vast majority of what we have here in the United States is the Delta variant, and we learned to tackle the Delta variant with vaccines, with boosters, with masking, and all those prevention measures that we've been using all along. How will any of these prevention protocols change, if at all, with Omicron?
I'm going to guess that they won't change very much, except that we will have some time to develop a new vaccine if that's needed, and it may well be needed. It may not. This is one of those questions that goes on in immunology and infectious disease. Is it better to have a specific vaccine against every variant, or do you want a broad vaccine that's effective against many variants? And again, that's one of those things we'll figure out as we go along. But it's basically going to be a combination of mitigation strategies, learning how to treat the disease better, and developing vaccines that do the best they can at preventing people from getting seriously ill from it.
888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, here on the Drew Mariani Show with Dr. Barbara Golder, who is the editor-in-chief of Lineker Quarterly of the Catholic Medical Association. And we're talking about the latest variant of coronavirus, how to fight it. And especially as we go into the holidays, the timing could not be worse. And you know, doctor, that the CDC has scaled up the testing in some of the major airports, from JFK and LaGuardia here in New York, Newark, Atlanta, San Francisco. Would you travel right now domestically or internationally, knowing what we know right now about this latest variant?
I would not travel, but not for the reasons you might think. I think we have managed to ensure to the degree that we can, and there's only so much we can do traveling on airlines. And certainly this variant is more transmissible, but seems to be less serious. It produces less serious disease, so that kind of balances out. My concern about traveling, and it's a very practical one, is we were actually talking about traveling to Iceland in January, and decided, or to New York, which we'd have to do first. Now, I didn't want to get there and have to figure out how to get a 24-hour COVID test so I could fly back, or worse yet, come up COVID positive in, you know, some strange city, whether it's here or abroad, and have to wait it out. So it's not so much a matter of my concern for getting the virus, but what happens to me if I get it in that place.
You mean you don't want to stay another 2 weeks in Reykjavik, Iceland here in the middle of the winter where the sun comes up at 11 o'clock in the morning and sets at 3 in the afternoon? Who would not want to be in that paradise, Dr. Golden?
Actually, that's like my ideal time, but my husband would want to be there. I think that's a practical part of this that we have to look at, because the testing requirements are changing, and legitimately so. We're trying to buy some time on figuring out how to deal with this. So I just don't particularly want to get caught in that particular net. So I probably wouldn't travel, but that's a personal decision, and I can see people who would, and that's fine too.
I understand, as we talk about the Omicron variant of COVID-19, Jamie is joining our conversation at 888-914-9149 in Tampa, Florida. Hi, Jamie. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. You're on with Dr. Golder.
Hey, Drew. Hey, Barbara. How are you guys doing today?
We're blessed.
How are you? Very well, thanks.
Pretty good. I'm not Catholic, but I was listening to the conversation. I said, you know what, I just had to weigh in. Why is it that the news media, now I quit watching the news about 19 months ago. And every time I turn around, the news is just blowing up the anxiety tenfold. And it's gotten to a point where I've said COVID is not just physical. It's also mental. It's emotional. I heard stories of people who committed suicide because of all the restrictions and lockdowns and mandates and whatnot. What? Why is it that the news media, I don't care what media outlet you read or watch, they seem to be loving this? It's like they're having a field day because of this, because they love it. They want you to be panicked and scared and anxious. But why is it that they are pretty much programming us to be panicked and scared and anxious?
Dr. Golder, do you mind if I take a stab at this one? Because I've come out of that very environment. I grew up in TV news, and when you get a story like this, it's short attention span theater. And I don't care if you're talking about ABC, CBS, NBC, any of the cable outlets, which are really more like opinion outlets, or even your local station in Tampa, Florida. And I've worked for a station in Tampa, Florida as a consultant. And you know what? It just simply sells. And, you know, if you can kind of rev up that anxiety, you do get eyeballs. Now, it's a false positive. And more people are in your camp. And you are the voice of reason this afternoon, Jamie, as you're turning the darn thing off. And you know what? Enough of the audience turns it off. They get the message and they change. And also, I know I enjoyed those calls when I got them from viewers, because that was the instant reaction to what you're putting on the air, where people saying, could you tone it down a bit? Because they're your customers. And, you know, when you start talking to them, it's like, because you can get into the bubble in a newsroom and isolate yourself from the community and reasonable voices like you, Jamie, that need to be heard. So, and look, just take a look at the last month. And Dr. Golder, you'll agree. What's not on the radar anymore? Gas prices. You name the things that just that commanded our attention. The border just commanded our attention. They're gone now. And something else will come along and replace this. And again, it's the short attention span theater. But you did the right thing, Jamie, by shutting it off. Jamie, thanks for adding so much to the conversation here on the Drew Mariani Show with Dr. Barbara Golder today.
Add to that, I think that's exactly right from the standpoint. It's a product in itself.
Yep.
And we have to be intelligent consumers,
yep,
mindful of our own health. So I'm right with you on that.
Voice of Reason right here on Relevant Radio. And you know that as a listener to Relevant Radio, and pass on the good news about the Voice of Reason, the pragmatic advice that you get here through the filter of faith. Only one place, Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our conversation with Dr. Barbara Golder, who's a physician and an attorney and the editor-in-chief of the bioethics journal Linacre Quarterly of the Catholic Medical Association. And we're talking about this latest variant of COVID-19 and all of the vaccines and all of the ways that we can mitigate it and just enjoy Christmas and get together with our families. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Mary's in Corrales, New Mexico. Mary, good afternoon. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. You're on with Dr. Golder.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear, Mary.
Very good. I am in a household where my husband doesn't believe in COVID. He doesn't believe in vaccinating himself, his entire family. does not believe in vaccinating. I, on the other hand, am a three-time vaxxer with the boost. I even had to go in last weekend and get the antibodies because my husband got COVID. We were isolated in our house. He had a very bad cough, and, of course, I got COVID. Being a lupus person, along with some heart issues and lung issues, I immediately went to the hospital and got an additional antibody. So I came out of it fairly well. Meanwhile, my husband still has the cough, and his pretty much entire family now is in the hospital.
Wow.
One, I'm not sure if she's on a ventilator yet. The mother, who is in her late 80s, they both have double pneumonia and COVID.
Well, Mary, we're going to be praying for you and the family there. But Dr. Golder, we've heard these stories so many times before. Do you scratch your head now almost 2 years in and wonder how someone may get into that mindset, then get sick, and then have the change of heart? We've heard that so many times. A handful of conservative talk show hosts who were anti-vaxxers, and that's a whole separate topic for another day, sadly died from COVID-19 just the other day. The gentleman who runs the Daystar Network died of COVID-19.
There's a lot of it out there, and it would be a very interesting discussion to have again on another day, how people make up their minds on topics and then what it takes to change them. But one of the things that it takes to change them sometimes is a very critical, jarring event, life-threatening event even.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there have been some very heartbreaking stories come out of ICUs of people who are young, otherwise healthy, refused the vaccine, didn't believe in COVID, and are now dying in the ICU and want the vaccine. And the caregivers have to say, you know what? No, you can't have it, and it won't help. The reality is, and this is true, this is just numbers. An unvaccinated person is something like 15 times more likely to go in the hospital with COVID than an unvaccinated person. And an unvaccinated person is something like 6 or 7 times more likely to catch COVID than a fully vaccinated person. It's just true. Is it 100%? No, it isn't. And it's never going to be. But it's very helpful. And the numbers really don't lie here.
Mary, what's your husband's name? I'm going to be in the Adoration Chapel tonight. Let me pray for him and his family. What's his first name?
Fred.
Fred, I'll be praying for Fred, his family, all those members of his family and your family as well in the hospital. And you, Mary, thank you so much. 888-914-9149. Our conversation with Dr. Barbara Golder, who is the editor-in-chief of Linacre Quarterly of the Catholic Medical Association, just kind of sorting through this latest variant of COVID-19 and sharing your stories at 888-914-9149. As we continue on the Drew Mariani Show, John Harper for Drew on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the Relevant Radio archives. Just search for The Drew Mariani Show.
John Harper for Drew Mariani on this first Friday of December and keeping you healthy. We are 3 weeks until Christmas Eve. And of course, with Omicron, now the latest variant of COVID-19, perhaps more questions than answers. The good news is, in our conversation with Dr. Barbara Golder, who is the editor of the Linacre Quarterly of the Catholic Medical Association, even if you are vaccinated and you do get this latest variant of COVID-19, your symptoms will be a little bit less. Am I accurate in saying that, Dr. Golder?
That seems to be the case.
That's good news. That's some good news. And we're helping you out at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Let's go to the great state of Maine. State Representative Michael LaMellon represents the 88th District, and that's Chelsea, Whitefield, and Jefferson. That's just east of Augusta, and he's joining our conversation. State Representative LaMellon, good afternoon. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Well, thank you. Good afternoon. the one thing I wanted to share is the people who don't want to be vaccinated seem to be getting a pretty bad rap. And one of the things I wanted to share was a fact from Maine, and that is that 671 people in Maine died of no known cause after having the vaccine. And our CDC director was asked in court if he was going to investigate that. And as you know, anybody that dies within 28 days of having any type of shot, when it's multiple people, that should be looked into. It should be a grave concern. And he said, no, I'm not going to look into this. He said, if the federal government wants to look into it, great. So this is one of the reasons. I mean, that's a lot of people. That's actually more people than have died in 1 year from COVID in Maine. And people know this, so they have great concerns, and I think they should.
That's a good point, Dr. Golder.
It is a good point. And the problem with data, no matter what it is that it has to be, and I agree with the representative that we need to look at this because we need to investigate it and figure out what's going on. That's how we started this conversation about trying to understand how different populations and different groups have different outcomes and what's actually at work. And so when there's data like that, it deserves looking at. That has not seemed to be the case in other places. And I think that it is something that needs to be evaluated, but in and of itself doesn't tell us much except that that happened. I understand that that's why people are hesitant, but when you put that into the context of even that into the context of all of the people who've received vaccines and all of the people who've been sick with COVID, the vaccine still comes out as a very respectable choice and a good choice in terms of caring for one's own health. That said, I understand why people, particularly if they've known folks like folks in that situation, would see it differently.
Representative Lamellen brings up a good point, Dr. Golder, and we should not demonize these people. But unfortunately, we are in a situation now from social media to talk shows on radio stations to what you see on television where that demonization just makes for better entertainment. But the fact is, and not to diminish those who lost their lives, and we pray for the repose of their souls, many of these people had pre-existing conditions. And perhaps one of the other conversations that we should be having right now is the epidemic of obesity here in the United States, even among young people, which is contributing to some of these factors of those who have come down with COVID.
Absolutely. And speaking as a medical examiner, I can tell you that unsuspected, unexpected deaths really are not uncommon. And I can also tell you that when you look into them, sometimes you find things that you didn't realize were there, like pre-existing heart disease or pre-existing lung disease or diabetes or whatever it is. This is a wake-up call for all of us, including me, to pay better attention to our health on a daily basis.
And you're doing that, Representative, aren't you? You're like the rest of us. I was terrible at washing my hands. So I'm washing my hands. I'm doing the mask and the social distancing. I always joke that I invented social distancing because I never wanted to be within 6 feet of anybody. But be that as it may, some of those basics, I've not made many compromises in my life. I don't know if you have either, but just being pragmatic has been, 90% of the game for me, Representative.
I agree. One of the things that I've noticed is I'm not saying vaccination works or doesn't work, and I've never told anybody not to get vaccinated or to get vaccinated. I think it should just remain a choice. I just don't like the mandates. But one of the things I've noticed is I think the most effective thing is that with COVID, we have learned two important things, and that is you don't send your kids to school sick, and you don't go to work sick. And I think in the past, that wasn't the case. In my workplace, people would always show up and say, I'm sick. And with children, I would drop my children off to school, And I would look at five or six kids, and they're deathly ill, and they're still at school because parents unfortunately use schools as daycares. We've drifted away from that right now, and I think that's a huge factor today in stopping COVID or any other virus or bacterial infection, is that people are much more cautious, and they are not going to work sick, and they're not sending their schools to kids to school sick. And I'd like to hear the doctor's viewpoint on that, if I may.
Don't you wish there's a vaccine for common sense, Dr. Golder?
I wish there were common sense, period, yes. No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think it drives us in a very interesting direction. And this is one of these unexpected things that will come out of this pandemic. It will drive us into an interesting and unexpected direction in that now we're going to have to look at how do we provide for families so that they can manage to keep their kids home or stay home themselves when they're sick. What kind of safety net does that require of us as individuals, as charitable organizations, as parishes, as families for each other, and as government? Because I think they all have to work together. And as employers, how do we manage the system for that? I mean, one of the reasons people have a tendency not to stay home when they're sick is because they want to save it for if they're really sick, or because it's all one pot and they want to save it for vacations and holidays and they don't have much time. I mean, there are all kinds of social issues that go into this that will require our attention if we're going to really concentrate on those two very important things. And I think you're exactly right about them.
State Representative LaMellon, thank you so much for your perspective here from the great state of Maine, here on the Drew Mariani Show with Dr. Barbara Golder from the Catholic Medical Association, as we talk about the latest variant of COVID-19 and just trying to keep you and me healthy. And we're helping you out here at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. David's in Dallas, Texas. Hi, David. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show. You're on with Dr. Golder.
Hi, thanks. I was actually just calling to maybe get an opinion. I am vaccinated, but I was thinking about the booster, and then I'm kind of delayed on getting the booster because I'm not sure if there's going to be an additional booster for this variant. So I guess my question is, should I delay getting the booster until maybe the new boosters come out?
That's a $64,000 question, and it's probably one best discussed in the context of your particular medical history with your doctor. One of the questions there is how quickly will we have new boosters that are oriented toward this new variant? And I don't know the answer to that question yet. I know we're sort of in the introduction phase for the second, the booster set for the old vaccine, but how long it's going to take for the new one, I don't think I know. So I think that's a discussion that you have with your doctor. I think generally speaking, we're finding that it requires both the vaccination and the booster to give you the optimum protection for the vaccine. And we're also finding that it doesn't seem to have too much of a downside. And we're not sure about what that downside would be, but it doesn't seem to have too much of a downside to get the booster. So I think you weigh that out with your doctor.
David, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to Relevant Radio in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Let's go out to El Paso with May for Dr. Barbara Golder. Hello, May. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I have a question because I'm a 50-year-old lady, and I had COVID with no issues. So did my husband. My daughter, however, she was, pressured to have the vaccine. So she had the first vaccine and then the second. And she has come up with some horrible side effects. She's really bedridden. We're trying to find help for her, but she was healthy. And after the vaccine, it just deteriorated her health. She's got seizures. She had palpitations, brain fog, memory issues. She's a really smart girl. And now it seems like I think the vaccine should be a choice. And it should be up to the person, but a young woman, her period is like crazy. She doesn't have, it's like she only has a little bit of time without a period. It's just, and it all happened after that vaccine, but there's no help. So we try to get some help and everybody tells her it's anxiety. And I've been documenting the biological aspects of it, but everybody said, oh, it's just anxiety. But there's physical symptoms. It's more than anxiety, and it happened after the vaccine. And
have you seen anything like this, Dr. Golder? Have you seen anything like this?
I've seen pieces of this. The business about increased periods has been pretty well documented, but it seems to have generally been pretty self-limited. Some people have more reaction than others to in the immediate time frame after the vaccine to it. For example, my daughter and son-in-law both got their vaccine on the same day. Daughter was fine. Son-in-law had a fever and was in bed for a day.
Yeah.
So there is a reality to the physical reactions that people have, and we're still sorting out why this person gets one reaction and that person gets another or none at all. So I have heard of pieces of this. But this sounds very extraordinary, and my sympathies and all I can suggest is continue to try working through your physician and your health, whatever your health provider system is, to get her some help.
We're helping you and your family stay healthy as we head into Christmas and 2022, this latest variant of COVID-19. So many questions, so many different experiences, as you've heard from our relevant radio listeners here on the Drew Mariani Show. Dr. Barbara Golder is with us. She is the editor of the Linacre Quarterly of the Catholic Medical Association. She's a physician, attorney, and a bioethicist, and we're helping you. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. More solutions coming up as we continue on the show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.
I'm a fan of yours. I listen to your replay at night on the Relevant Radio app.
It's the Drew Mariani Show.
Working graveyard as a mail handler.
On Relevant Radio.
And we're talking about the latest variant of COVID-19 that has absolutely dominated the news cycle and perhaps affected you in some way, physically, certainly emotionally, because, boy, that secular news media just loves to ramp up all the scare tactics with the Omicron variant of COVID-19. Just a few hours ago, Dr. Anthony Fauci with the White House COVID response team.
Although we haven't proven it yet, there's every reason to believe that if you get vaccinated and boosted, that you would have at least some degree of cross protection, very likely against severe disease, even against the Omicron variant.
And that's some good news as we talk about keeping you healthy and safe with Dr. Barbara Golder, who is the editor of the Linacre Quarterly of the Catholic Medical Association. So there is some good news coming out because, you know, we were all scared when we heard about this latest variant emerging from South Africa as we still learn about it. Every day is a learning experience, isn't it, Dr. Golder?
It really is. And I think that's one of the things that we actually have become a little more comfortable with over time. And I think that helps us ramp down that anxiety. Is that we've learned that science goes forward in steps, and sometimes it's one forward and one back or two forward and one back, but it does go forward. And we're still figuring this out, but we do, in fact, figure it out, and we do, in fact, make progress, and we'll get there.
Steve's joining us in Chaska, Minnesota with Dr. Barbara Golder at 888-914-9149. Steve, good afternoon. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Thank you. It seems like most of the focus is on vaccinated versus non-vaccinated, and there's almost nothing explained about the natural immunities after one who's had a COVID infection. Now, I'm 71, had a COVID infection in April, fully recovered, has been healthy. My doctor said, no ivermectin, no hydrochloroquine, but we did get you monoclonal infusion, the Regeneron. Why aren't we talking more about the treatments and the natural immunities than just vax, non-vax?
That's a good question, but I think we have discussed some of that, and we do know some things about it. For instance, we know that natural immunity gives you a certain amount of what we call anamnestic or remembered response if you encounter the virus again. If you have had the virus and you get a booster, you have an even better response. We figured that much out, at least. We've learned, for example, what good the monoclonal antibodies do, and part of the problem we have is supply in general and the politicization of how that supply is distributed, that's an issue. But I think the reason we talk about vaccine and non-vaccine is because we still retain a pretty high concentration of people who have not been vaccinated at all, and because it has become such a contentious issue on a social and political basis. It goes back to what John was saying about how news cycles work.
Steve, that's a great question. Thank you, and I'm glad you're well. Let me just ask you one quick question, Steve. What were some of the symptoms? How bad was COVID when you first got it?
2 years ago, the flu was much worse than this COVID infection, even though it was a positive.
Yeah.
And my doctor says, I can't give you those other treatments, but I'll send you right away to the Regeneron, which knocked out of me in about a day or two.
Wow, now, thanks be to God.
If I heard correctly, if I have the natural immunity because of previous COVID, is it best to go get a booster injection now, and it doesn't matter which vaccine I use as that booster?
Good question.
Well,
Dr. Golder?
I think that is one of the recommendations that physicians will make. That, again, this is a discussion you have with your physician concerning your health, your particular set of biology, and what your goals are for your health. But we do know that infection with COVID provides some natural immunity. We also know people get infected two or three times with COVID with natural immunity. And we also know that, generally speaking, if you have been infected and you get a booster, that natural immunity goes up. So it's a balancing act in terms of your own particular medical history that your doctor can help you with. But it would be one I would discuss with him for sure.
Steve, thank you. Prayers for continued good health. Thanks for listening in Chaska, Minnesota. Let's go to Providence right now. Al is listening to Relevant Radio 550. Can you punch up Al here? I'm having a little difficulty with the phone on my end. Al, you're on with Dr. Barbara Golder. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks very much. Doctor, I had a question regarding if a person is recently vaccinated, does the spike proteins that from vaccination pose any kind of risk for an unvaccinated person? Have you heard that before?
I have not heard that, and I'm kind of trying to wrap my mind around the question. So could you explain to me what makes you worry that it would?
Well, I'm not worried myself, but I have a relative who is kind of an anti-vaxxer who has come up with this this theory. I don't know if she read it on the internet or what happened, but she is concerned that someone who's been recently vaccinated within a certain period of time might have some kind of an effect on an unvaccinated person because of the spike protein.
Let me explain how the vaccine works, which should put your mind at ease. Whether or not it will put her mind at ease, I don't know. The mRNA is in the vaccine. It causes your body then to produce within you this spike protein, which then creates an environment in which your body responds by making antibodies to it. It all happens inside of you. I am unaware of any data that says you shed this spike protein, and it degrades very quickly anyway, so that it would not be a problem even if you did. So the short answer to the question is no, but maybe that will help you explain why the answer is no, which is going to be the bigger issue.
Right, right. And how quickly does the spike protein degrade in your body?
You know, at one point I actually knew that. It's a very prompt process because it's a few days that you generate this spike protein, you generate the antibodies, and it goes on from there. So no pun intended, the spike protein spikes, you know, the concentration of it spikes and then goes away.
Al, thanks for the question. And stay well.
Thank you.
Stay well. That's Al in Providence, Rhode Island, here listening to Relevant Radio 550 with Dr. Barbara Golder from the Catholic Medical Association. We're talking about the latest variant of COVID-19, which is certainly dominating the news cycle. With every variant that comes along, well, we have to get booster shots. I got my booster shot. My immunity is low. I had cancer. I've got one kidney. You know, there's, I have nothing in me. Get close to me, you hear the ocean now, Dr. Golder. I got all of those vaccinations. But will we continue to do this? Will this just become like the flu shot that we get every single year?
Yeah, it probably will. And you know, there's this thing going around that this isn't quote really a vaccination, because vaccinations create immunity that lasts for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Well, some vaccines do, but some vaccines don't. And this is a don't vaccine. The flu vaccine has to be repeated. We have to get boosters for the MMR vaccine. You know, the idea of boostering is built into the concept of vaccination. This is just going to be a different kind of vaccination, and it's driven by the fact that this virus is very mutable. So it changes its conformation and presents itself differently, and we have to respond to that. So it's more likely to be like the flu vaccine than like smallpox vaccination.
Well, also getting your shingles shot. I went for my checkup last year, and the doctor said, you know, you have to get a shingles shot now. And I said, wait, what? Huh? And then a booster after. It's a series of two shots. But, you know, they explained, well, you know, you've had the measles, but later on in life, this could be very painful, and you don't want to get it. And that's why we give you those booster shots. I had more of a reaction from that than anything else I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, that's the Shingrix shot. Try the Shingrix shot, and it's very effective. It's a very good vaccine against shingles, which you really do not want to get. But that is one where people have experienced some pretty significant side effects. But hopefully, and in most cases, they're just transient, miserable, but transient, and you get better. And then you don't have to worry about shingles, which is much, much worse.
Dr. Barbara Golder on the latest variant of the coronavirus. Maria in Chicago joining us on the Drew Mariani Show. Hi, Maria.
Hi. My question is really kind of, everyone has their opinion on the vaccine and whether or not to get it. But I think as Catholics, I think what's really disappointing for me to hear as a Catholic is that we push this vaccine so much, and we were so willing to protect our own lives. And I understand that can be important. But what about the innocent lives, the aborted fetal cells that are in these vaccines that no one's talking about? And I think there's a really
right,
good...
Let me stop you right there.
There's a really...
There are no aborted fetal cells in the vaccines. None.
Well, I think people need to get more educated on the subject, because there are. And if they go to Thomas More Society and actually look, what's really nice, and I didn't get vaccinated, and I was exempted from my university as a student to not get it, as well as at my two jobs. And they couldn't deny it when they saw all of that information. And I doubt any lawyer that's working with doctors, and I understand you're a doctor, but there's a lot of things that aren't being said about this vaccine. And Catholics, as well as others, they're just kind of blindly taking this in and not really doing the work behind it, because they're being fearful because of what they're being told either in the doctor's office, on the media. And I think it's really important that as Catholics, we're really doing our part and not just listening to the so-called professionals, because everybody can educate themselves on this.
You know, Maria, your point is well taken, Maria.
Yeah.
Because you know, I recall from the days when I was hosting Morning Air, in the early days of the coronavirus, we had Father Tad Boholczyk, who is a guest on Drew's show and other programs, from the National Catholic Bioethics Center in Philadelphia, talking about these very points and going inside the Pfizer ingredients, the Moderna ingredients. Johnson & Johnson was brand new at the time. And through the National Catholic Bioethics Center, Dr. Golder, how many conversations did we have from your perspective of the Catholic Medical Association to talk about the makeup of these vaccines?
Right.
But now, we've just gotten so much, vaccines have become so much of the mainstream conversation that perhaps we need to go back and reset to help Maria.
Yeah.
and others who are coming into the conversation now.
And I think it's important to recognize, here's how these vaccines are made. More than 40, 50 years ago, a single fetus who was the product of, and nobody is sure whether it was a therapeutic abortion or a miscarriage, not even the guy who developed the cell line, Cells were taken from that kidney, and they were created, they were manipulated in the lab to create a cell line that would live forever, presumably, certainly for 40 or 50 years, which no human cell would otherwise do. So it's been manipulated and changed. That cell line was used after the fact to test this vaccine. It was not used in the production of the vaccine, and nothing from those cell lines is in the vaccines if you're talking about Pfizer or Moderna. Johnson & Johnson was grown in a similar cell line, but there are no parts of those cells in the vaccine. The only thing that's in the vaccine is the mRNA and the things to keep it together so that it will last long enough to get into your body. It's important to understand that. There aren't fetal cell parts in these vaccines. And the cell line we're talking about was the product of a single event many, many years ago and has been manipulated, so it's not even the same as it was when it was obtained. And I think that's critical, and I think that's one of the reasons that the Vatican Council for Life can say, this is so far removed from that event that it's okay for Catholics to take it, and that's what they said. Now, if you have a conscience problem with that, that's fine, but I think it's important to understand the science that goes on and not mistake it and not be fearful because you misunderstand the science, because that's what's driving this.
Maria, I'm glad you put that point back on the table because it's a very important one, even 2 years into the conversation, because it was one that dominated the conversation very early on and now has just kind of fallen into the background. Doug's joining us in Minnesota this morning, this afternoon, with Dr. Barbara Golder. Hi, Doug. Welcome to the Drew Mariani Show.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Dr. Golder, just wondering, some other countries have done more research regarding the antibodies and the duration of the antibodies and how much more protection they may have or don't have. And there's been a lot of conversation lately that the antibodies, don't hold up very long and that kind of thing. Do you have any input on that? I mean, it seems like our country wants to do all kinds of research on vaccinations and do all those kinds of things. But for those that are unvaccinated, there's really not much to go on.
Okay. You get antibodies one of two ways. You either get antibodies by getting the vaccine or you get it by getting the disease. And we have done some studies on both of those, what kinds of levels we get. You get a level, a different kind of level, higher initially from the illness tends to go away, but it comes back stronger if it's challenged again, like with the booster, than you do with the vaccination, depending on which vaccination you get. The person who's not vaccinated and has never been sick doesn't have antibodies and therefore doesn't need studying. So I think we have done that, but I think we are still learning an awful lot about those things. And that's going to be one of the things that helps us figure out the best way to use vaccines and boosters to produce the best protection for the most people. But, it's like everything else in this pandemic. It's a work in progress. We've just moved on to a different phase of the pandemic where we're looking at the work in progress in terms of what vaccine, what kind of boosting, and how often.
Doug, thank you and stay well. Thanks for listening to Minnesota. And thank you for your expertise and the gift of your time. You've given us so much of your time. Thank you so much for that generosity. Dr. Barbara Golder, a physician, attorney, bioethicist, award-winning author, and the editor-in-chief of the bioethics journal, Linacre Quarterly of the Catholic Medical Association. You stay well, Dr. Golder. Thank you. Happy Advent. Have a very Merry Christmas.
Happy Advent. Bye-bye.
Dr. Barbara Golder. Coming up in the next hour, Drew will pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet and also the five things you and I need to be doing this Advent. We're just wrapping up the first week. We've got three more weeks to go. We'll help you out coming up as we continue on the Drew Mariani Show here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.